We are in the process of quite a few pages of text, and we are working to move along and finish this up. We may do that today, and I wouldn't count on it. But it's good stuff. We've spent 2 sessions already, and we're going to start Isaiah 40. 28 to 31. And we're going to talk about things that are important. We talk about ourselves being New Testament Christians. We're big on that. I'm going to tell you, if you don't get the Old Testament, the New Testament won't make much sense because of the foundation that's in there. And I'm grateful that I'm at a place where people are not so pouty about things and we can do things that are longer. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Is anybody here weak in some ways that needs power? Yeah. Well, it's right there. That's why it's such a good book. We did a big disservice for a lot of things over the years, calling it New Testament church. I'm going to tell you what, you don't have a New Testament without the Old Testament. And you don't get it with the New Testament without the Old Testament. Even the youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 39. And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose, for those God foreknew. Listen carefully. This is about you. For what God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among the brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, what? Who can be against us? Well, I just can't get along in the world. Yes, you can. God's on your side. Well, how big is that? How big is that statement? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? If God justifies, it is God who justifies. Let me do something right here. What is justification? Think of it this way. Just as if I never sinned. That's what God gave us. How many of you in this room sin? We just don't have all enough hands, do we? Jesus Christ, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who? shall separate us from the love of Christ. We have the best thing going for us that there can be. Shall trouble? Anybody ever have trouble? Raise your hand. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. What if somebody come in here and kill some of us or all of us? Oh, you're not going to be talking about it next week. But what is going to be done is if you're in the embrace of Jesus Christ, He's got you. And just because you're dead does not mean it's over. There will be a resurrection. And everybody in God's embrace will be involved in that. Knowing all things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I'm convinced that neither death or life or angels or demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. It sounds to me that God has us in His embrace and He's not letting us go. Do any of you sin? Do you? Yes! But God removes that. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust Him, so that you may overflow with hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to Lamentations 3:22-23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassion never fail, and they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Deuteronomy 21:6. This is part of the Bible that a lot of people don't like to look at. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them. For the Lord your God goes with you, and He will never leave you nor forsake you. Does that sound like God's on our side? How many of you mess up in life? I wish I had 40 hands right now of my own. God will never let me be forsaken. Psalm 23:1-6. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He, not me. Y'all get that? You getting that rhythm? He. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I have asked people over the years, many times, different places, if you were to die right now, right here, would you be saved or lost? And many will say, I hope so. I hope I get home and I don't have to do any more flower planting or digging in the dirt. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Before it's over this week, I'll be digging in the dirt. Hoping is one thing, but God's hope is concrete. God doesn't make the errors we make. I've given God countless reasons not to love me, and none of them have been strong enough to change His mind about me. I suspect that's true with all of us. God is in control, and that means everything. I can give thanks, not just because of a situation, but because of one of the one who directs and rules over it. That's what we have. Never give up, for that is just the place and time that the tide will turn in this world. How very little can be done when you're afraid. All you can do when you're afraid is run or cower down. Faith sees the invisible. It believes the unbelievable, and it receives the impossible. And none of that is about you. It's about Him. Joshua 24:14. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Dear friends, do not be surprised by fiery trials or fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in so much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed with His glory. And when it is revealed, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed. For the Spirit of glory and God rest on you. This book is full of you. It's not about some archaic writing somewhere. God had this put in place. He even let it be written down so that we could have it in book form and make copies and things like this and share it around the world. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. We need to understand that living for Christ is not a cakewalk. Rather, it's a lifetime adventure that, because of the evil one in the world, brings with it much difficulty. It's easy to get discouraged. I mean, it's easy. When things don't go the way we imagine they would or should, but we have to remember that every person on this earth is flawed. I don't care how good you are. Let me tell you, you're good people, but you're covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that makes you something different. It's easy to get discouraged when things don't go the way we want to. We're flawed, we're not perfect, and there's no perfect person on this globe that's perfect. You know that? The only person who ever walked this earth that was perfect was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, when He reached in and gave of Himself and put it on us and gave us the word children. We are His children in the faith. I don't care if you're 483 years old, you're still children to God. We need to understand that living in Christ is not a cakewalk, but rather it's a lifetime adventure. And it brings much difficulty. Though we do not want imperfection, we have it either way we go. When we first come to Christ, it's easy to become quickly overwhelmed. And in some cases, you even get very confused with it. Living life in God isn't always easy for any one of us because we're flawed. You can't get anybody in this room that's not flawed except the babies. And they're going to get their turn. The good news is that just like God did for Abraham when he looked up in the stars and believed God's promise, we too have been credited righteous. I want you to hear that clearly. If you're in the embrace of God, even though you're flawed, you are credited righteous. This comes from God, not from me or somebody else. God says, I credit you righteous. If you are God's credited righteous person, have you sinned before? Jesus comes along and credits you just as if you've never sinned. You don't beat a deal like that ever, ever. Because we are in covenant with God, we are clothed in His righteousness. We put Him on. Are we still messed up people? Yep. You be messed up people long as you are. But God still cleans you up. You didn't do it. You didn't get it right enough. God just washed it away. Do we deserve such a gift as that? Yeah, I'll tell you what, I've been to church every day of my, every Sunday since I've been born. Yes, sir, I'm worthy of it. No, you're not. You're worthy because of who you hang out with when you're hanging out with God. Philippians 4:10-13. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content with whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. What do you say about that? I want you to fixate on words like this so that we can know I am really honest before God, completely clean. And I don't deserve it. I couldn't fix it, but it's been fixed. You haven't fixed it. You can't do enough good to say to God, I fixed it myself. God slap you naked for that. God will put it on you, and you will wear new clothes. It's clothing about righteousness, and you have it. And it goes with you everywhere you go. You cannot beat a deal like that. We need to become a people who lean on the experiences and strengths of others while navigating life with the aid of those who experience much more than we may have experienced. There's critical things that we need to understand and that we need to help each other understand. I want us to ponder this. You could stay up here and talk all day long, but when you get a gem like we just had today, what God is doing for us, when we have something like that, we need to say things back to God that expresses to Him our appreciation for what it might be. I'm not good enough. I hang out with a church bunch that's not good enough. But we have a God who took our not good enough and covered it with Himself and put it on us. And I'm going to tell you, that's the best you can do right there. You can't get any better than that. And the church said, Amen. Amen.